One of the greatest compliments, at least from my perspective, when I'm talking about someone else, is to say something like that, something like this. He's one of the good guys. He's one of the good guys. I guess I've been watching too many Westerns. You know, you got your good guys and your bad guys. But whenever I usually find myself saying that when someone passes that I think a lot of, and someone who's usually a servant of the Lord and someone who's just a good guy to be around. So I say something like this. Now he was just one of the good guys. He was just one of the good guys. But this morning we're not going to talk about good guys. Guess what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about a good God. A good God. Title of the message this morning is The Goodness of God. The goodness of God. I really felt impressed by God to preach this message today. And if you've noticed, the whole service has been geared around praising God. The songs that we sang today, praising the Lord, praise Him, praise Him. When the choir, Be Thou Exalted, everything just kind of fits right in with that theme about praising the Lord for His goodness. So we're going to talk about that at length from the book of Psalms. We're going to look at all the times it mentions, or at least reference them at different times through the message, the goodness of God. It simply says He is good a number of times in Scripture. And we'll be looking at some of the same verses more than once. We'll go back to them. We've got quite a few verses to look at, pulling some different principles that we can about God's goodness. But let me ask you today, do you need a little boost in your life today? Do you need a little reason to smile? Maybe you need some strength maybe in your life or in your heart. Maybe you need a spring in your step. If that's you today, you say, yeah, I could use a little boost. I need a little encouragement. I need a little oomph in my life. Listen close, because you're going to get it today from God's Word. I'm as serious as I can be. If you can hear a message like this on the goodness of God and not be encouraged just a little bit in your walk with the Lord, there is something wrong spiritually, because we serve such a good God. As we look at this title today, point number one, under the goodness of God, we'll be looking at a number of verses, and have your fingers ready if you're going to be turning in the book of Psalms. They'll be up on the monitor. I think Angela deserves three times what she's making now, because she's got a lot of verses up there to put up. So I think we ought to bump her salary up, multiply it by three. What do you think? Amen. Okay, you got a raise, Angela. Point number one. What's that? I know zero times three is still zero, but we appreciate you. We really do. Number one, under the goodness of God, this is very obvious, but the Lord is good. 12 times in the book of Psalms, it says that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. You know, being good is part of God's nature. Do you know that? It's not like He has to strain and stretch to be good. Now, we're not like that, because we have that old sin nature, right? And we have that constant struggle between the Holy Spirit pulling us this way if we know Jesus as our Savior, and we got the old world, flesh, and the devil pulling us this way, that old sinful nature pulling us that way. So we have to determine whether we're going to, with God's help, do good or not. But God doesn't have to sit up there and think, you know what? Wonder if I'm going to be good today. I mean, God by His very nature is good. And it tells us 12 times in Scripture. You know, because God is good. Listen to James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now think about that for a moment. Every single good thing you have, every single good thing you have comes from a God that is good. And then it goes on in that verse. I know we kind of mentioned that first part, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. But notice what it says, and cometh down from the Father of lights. And what do you think of light? Something that illumines, something that's good, something that's pure. It says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's not like God is good today, but watch out. Tomorrow, God God may wake up in a bad mood. I am thankful that my God is good, aren't you? I know a lot of churches got into that. I never did any church I was at, but, you know, God is good all the time, all the time. God is good, and that's true. He is good all the time. I'm thankful for that. You know, sometimes I get on I get in one of those thankful prayers. You know, a lot of times I'm like you. I find myself, Lord, I really like this. And Lord, if you could do this. And Lord, this situation, if you could handle this. And I mean, do y'all find yourself doing that? And you sometimes just forget to pause sometimes and thank God for all the good things he's done for us. And when I get in one of those tears, you know, where it's a good tear, and I'm like, Lord, and I start from birth. Lord, I thank you that I was born in America. I mean, that's a blessing. I mean, that's a good thing from God. And I thank him that I was born in West Virginia. I thank him that I was born in a home with where my mom's a Christian and took me to church. I was thankful that I was born into a Baptist family. I'm thankful that I was taught right from wrong. I was thankful that I was taken to church. As I said many times, I was taken to church even before I was born. I'm thankful that I was under solid pastors that taught me right. I'm thankful that I was saved at the age of 11. I'm thankful that I was able to graduate high school and then graduate college with my engineering degree. I'm thankful that I was called into the ministry. I'm thankful for the ability to go to seminary and graduate with my master's. I'm thankful for my wonderful wife. I'm thankful for my two great sons that are heading into ministry. I'm thankful for the three churches that I have pastored. I'm thankful for over 22 years in full-time ministry. I'm thankful for Oak Mound, and he called me here to be your pastor. I'm thankful for a roof over my head and clothes to wear and food to eat, cars to drive, even if they don't always run right. I'm thankful for air conditioning. I'm thankful for heat and water and on and on. And why do I have those things? And why can I be thankful? Because my God is good. The goodness of God from the book of Psalms. Number one, the Lord is good. Number two, are you ready? Are you enthusiastic? The Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all. Now, I'm a child of God. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm a child of God because I did what the Bible said. I put my faith and trust in Jesus when I was 11 years old. They were singing Just As I Am at Hopewell Baptist Church, and I was sitting back there probably a little bit to that side of Peg, probably. And as that song was being sung, I come forward and I got saved and gave my heart and life to Jesus. So I know God's good to me. But you know, even the most rotten rascal, whenever I say that, I just automatically think of Tim. Isn't that terrible? I tell you, you've definitely left an impression. I'm joking. Sort of. Psalm 145 and verse 9. Listen to this. Psalm 145 and verse 9. It says, the Lord is good to only his children. Is that what it says? No, it says the Lord is good to who? All. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord is good to all. That means that God is good to the good, the bad, and the ugly. That means to the Christian who is closest to the Lord is good. That means to the worst rotten rascal, sinner, heathen that ever was, God is still good to them. You know, I was thinking about what does the Lord give to the rotten rascal, sinner, heathen that's never been saved that's good? Well, you think about it. Most of them have water. Now, I know there's exceptions to this, and some have some and some. But you know, even the lost, there's water, there's air to breathe, there's sunshine, there's rain. They have life. Most have family, material things. They have friends, and they have pleasures. And to most folks in America, even the lost people, I mean, we're talking about lost as lost can be. You're either lost or saved, but you know what I mean? I mean the real ornery, rotten rascals that are lost and it really oppose anything Christian. You know, God is good to them. Most of them have a roof over their head and clothes to wear and cars to drive and money to spend and really lots of wants even beyond their needs. You see, God is good to all. God is good to all. Now think about this. Think about this. God allows those good things, but you know, something that he offers to every single human being in the world is salvation. I mean, my goodness. How much better can you be to people than to say, guess what? I got a solution to that sin problem. Guess what? I'll give you purpose in life. Guess what? I'll give you joy in your heart. Guess what? I'll give you an eternity in heaven. Boy, I mean, can you think of a better offer than that? I mean, God is good to all. And let me encourage you, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, there's no better time than right now. Even if there's a question mark in your brain at all about whether you're saved or not, I'm thankful that God in his goodness says in Romans chapter 10 verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that whosoever is whosoever. That's you. That's everybody. So, the Lord, number one, is not only good. Secondly, the Lord is good to all. You know, the greatest show of the goodness of God was when he sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross. Now, when he died upon the cross, make no doubt about it. Or just don't even think about whether he paid for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. Now, it's up to us to put it to our account by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. But his blood was sufficient for the sins of the whole world. And I'm thankful for that. The goodness of God. First of all, the Lord is good. Second, the Lord is good to all. Number three, the Lord shows his goodness. The Lord shows his goodness. In Psalm 119 and verse 68. Psalm 119 and verse 68. Notice this. And all of these verses, or almost all of these verses, have specifically, it's a verse that says, God is good. Thou art good, and what's it say? Doest. We don't use that word, maybe, but he does good. Thou art good. Not only is that your nature, not only is that who you are, not only is that what you can't change from because you're good all the time and you never change, but you also do good. Teach me thy statutes. I'm thankful that he shows his goodness. You know, actually everything that God does is good. Everything that he does. Not only is his very nature good, everything that he does is good. Listen to this. Now this might make you think a little bit, okay? Even God's conviction is good. You know, for someone that's lost, and the Holy Spirit starts convicting them. You know, sometimes we pray the miseries of God down on people so that they realize their need of a Savior. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, make them miserable for a while. You know, just help them not be able to sleep until they give their heart. Have you ever prayed that for someone in a desperate situation? Like, get a hold of them. That conviction of the Lord is good because it's for the best of that individual. So they'll spend eternity in heaven instead of hell. What about God's chastisement of his people? That's good, right? That's like a parent that loves their kids so much they discipline them. God chastens us as his children because he loves us. So he sees that sometimes our life is about ready to become a train wreck because we've taken control of it and we're doing what we want to do. And God says, So he brings the chastening of the Lord into our hearts and into our life. And it's a good thing. It may not feel that good when you're going through it, but it's a good thing coming from a good God because the Lord shows his goodness. You know, what about God's justice? That's a good thing. If God was not a just God, he would not be God. Do you know what I'm saying? He would not be the God of the Bible. Our God, you know, not only does he love the world supremely, but some payday is coming. And the justice of God, you say, oh, Not only the justice, but the judgment of God is a good thing. I mean, there's no way our God could be God if he did not say, here's the line, this is right and this is wrong. You know what I mean? But in his goodness, he's a God that shows his goodness. I'll say it one more time. If God did not do these things, such as conviction and chastisement and justice and judgment, if God did not do these things that we may not necessarily look at first face value as good, if he did not do those things and do them consistently, God would no longer be good. Be good. Now I'm going to pick on Sean for a moment. Can I pick on you, Sean? What if I said, you know, I got a whole lot of weed eating. Actually, I got some areas I can't get around because of a bee's nest down at my house. So I want him to come and do it and get stung instead of me. You got an EpiPen. I don't. Okay. So, but someone has told me, they said that Sean, man, he is a good worker. And I will say Sean is a good worker. I know that. He weed-eated the mound and did a good job and did lickety-split. I mean, I know he's a good worker, so this is all made up, okay? But someone says, Sean's a good worker. So I get Sean down to Williamstown to mow my grass around that bee's nest and weed-eat around that bee's nest. I'll pray the protection of God on you, Sean. Everybody told me Sean's a good worker. But every time I'm in Williamstown, and every time I see him, he's sitting in the chair sipping on a Coca-Cola. And I'm like, Sean, I'll get to it. A little later. I'm sipping my Coca-Cola right now. I'm doing good. So an hour or two later, I come back and Sean's still sitting in the chair with a Coca-Cola. Now you'd say, you can say what you want to. You can say he's a good worker, but if he doesn't show it, is he really a good worker? Now, again, I know Sean's a good worker, but you'd have your doubts. You know, if we just said, well, God is good. You know, we say in that little prayer, right? God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. That's the only way it rhymes. Food, get it? Food. I always wondered, we pretend like it rhymes, it doesn't. But anyway, the point is, God is good, and he shows us his goodness. He doesn't just, it's not a theoretical. I'm more of a practical guy than I am a theoretical guy. And I'm glad that in a very practical way, God shows his goodness. So far this morning, we've looked at the goodness of God. First of all, the Lord is good. Second, the Lord is good to all. Third, the Lord shows his goodness. Number four, this is where we're going to, may take a little bit longer on these 2 points, but number four, the Lord shows his goodness through what? Well, in Psalm 86 and verse 5, notice this. Psalm 86 and verse 5, notice what it says. It says, for thou, Lord, art good. There's that verse again, art good. You're good, God. Lord, you're good. Notice this. How does God show his goodness? And ready to forgive. Wow. You serious? You know, I'm an old rotten sinner. You an old rotten sinner? Amen. You say, preacher, you don't have to tell us that. We know that already. We've been around you long enough. We know you're an old rotten sinner. But guess what? You're an old rotten sinner too. We're all old rotten sinners. And we'd be carrying around the weight and the guilt and the shame of that sin if our good God did not show us his goodness by showing us his forgiveness. I mean, you think about that. You think about all the things you've done wrong in life and all the things I've done wrong in life. And I often like to picture it like a big old whiteboard. And from the time you were born and all the sins and wanting your way and whining and crying. And some of you still whining and crying. And you're 70 years old. Guess what? All of those sins, when you ask God to forgive you, he gets that great big heavenly eraser out and wipes the whiteboard completely clean. That's one way that God shows his goodness in his forgiveness to us. I mean, we don't have to go around with this guilt and this shame of all of our sin. A lot of you remember when before you trusted Jesus, you had that guilt and that shame and all the... Guess what? The Lord took it away through his forgiveness. He shows his goodness in his forgiveness. You know, also he shows us, we've kind of hit this a little bit, but in his works. Psalm 145 and verse 9. Notice this. It says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So again, every single work that God does, he shows his goodness through those works. I'm thankful that God doesn't. I mean, what if God did 99% good but 1% bad works? He wouldn't be God anymore. He would not be perfect. How else does God show his goodness? Point number four, the Lord shows his goodness through dot, dot, dot. Number one is forgiveness. Number two is works. And number three under this point, he shows it through his forever truth. Psalm 100 and verse 5. Psalm 100 and verse 5. Notice it says, for the Lord is good, says his mercy is everlasting. But notice this, and his truth endureth to all generations. You see, what's the idea behind this to all generations? It's saying that God's truth endures forever. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, his truth, it's not like, okay, it was truth 100 years ago, but it's not truth 100 years from now. Or that's what this society says. You know, what used to be, you know, wrong is no longer wrong in 2024 in America because we become so brilliant and so smart. No, really, what you become is evil and opposed to God. Because guess what? If it was wrong then, it's still wrong. If it was right then, it's still right. You get it? Because God's truth endures forever. That's part of his goodness to us. I mean, imagine if his truth shifted. I mean, it goes right along with the Bible. I mean, the Bible is the truth of God, and that's what we know what is truth and what's not, right? But what if, I mean, how many of you would say it's easier to hit a moving target or a stationary target? Stationary. Well, can I tell you, God's truth is stationary. It's staying put. And if we're shooting to do what God wants us to do, guess what? It's not a moving target. It doesn't fluctuate according to the opinion polls. It doesn't fluctuate with the wind and what people think or even what your family thinks. It's dependent upon the Word of God. It's dependent upon the truth of God that lasts forever. You know, God also shows his goodness. Look at one more. He shows his goodness through his forever mercy. His forever mercy. You know what I found in the book of Psalms? You know, more times than any other, whenever it says the Lord is good, after that is the word mercy. Mercy. Eight times, if I jotted that down right, eight times I found in the same verse or very close to it, when it says that God is good or the Lord is good, it says something about his mercy. Something about his mercy. Let's look at those real quick. Psalm 106 and verse 1. Notice this. Psalm 106 and verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth. How long? Forever. Psalm 107 verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth. How long? Forever. Psalm 118. Look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good because his mercy endureth. How long?
Forever.
How about verse 29 of that same chapter? It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth. How long?
Forever.
Forever. The Lord shows his goodness through his forgiveness, through his works, through his forever truth, and through his forever mercy. Now, that's pretty big that it's a forever mercy. I mean, think about this for a moment. I mean, there's a lot of qualities and characteristics of God that's all here together. But what if we were in heaven for 1 million years? 1 million years. But God just decides, I run out of mercy. So, again, you know, you got the truthfulness of God and you got all that all tied into one big ball of wax, so to speak. But what if his mercy ran out? His mercy endureth. His mercy endureth.
Forever.
I'm thankful for that, aren't you?
Amen.
The goodness of God. The goodness of God. He shows his goodness through his forgiveness, or excuse me, he shows his goodness through his forgiveness, through his works, through his forever truth, and through his forever mercies. You might say that the goodness of God is not a sprinkle. The goodness of God, you could probably describe it as a downpour, as a monsoon, as a gully washer, as a toad choker, as raining cats and dogs, however you want to describe it. That's the way God's goodness is. It's not just a little trickle here. I mean, wow, just think about it. If you need encouragement, just think about the goodness of God and all the good things He's given to you. But here, we're ending on a note of challenge, okay? Last point. We've looked at the goodness of God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good to all. The Lord shows His goodness. The Lord shows His goodness through His forgiveness and through His works and through His forever truth and through His forever mercy. But point number five, our response to the Lord's mercy. Our response to the Lord's mercy. You know, how should we respond to God in that area? First of all, I want to talk to the lost for a moment. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, how should you respond to the goodness of God? Well, Psalm 25 and verse 8. Psalm 25 and verse 8. Look at that. It says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. You know your proper response, if you're here today, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, not been saved. Let the Lord teach you. Let the Lord. It says the Lord, you know, part of Him being good and upright is He'll teach sinners in the way. You know, we have it right here in the Bible. It tells us how to be saved. So let the Word of God teach you how to be saved. Find out what the Bible says. I was talking to someone recently, and different denominations came up, and you know, they was like, I brought up this, and you know, I've gone to this kind of church, and I, you know what, I said, well, you know, I want to talk to you something that's beyond this or this or this, that's from the Bible. You know, I'm a Baptist. I'll die a Baptist, but guess what? What's important is what we do with the Word of God, right? What's important is, how does the Bible say we're saved? We're saved by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. So if you're here and you're lost today, let the Word of God teach you. Let that Holy Spirit that's in, if you're feeling a little uncomfortable about me talking about being lost and being saved, and you're like feeling kind of clammy on the inside and you're not sure what's going on, it could be the Holy Spirit is telling you right now, you need to be saved. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Our response to the Lord's goodness. Let the Lord teach you if you're lost. What about Psalm 34 and verse 8? This is really a great verse. Notice this. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. If you're here today and you're lost, look, part of this God being good, it says, check it out. Try it out. See if the Lord is good. You know, some people are just like, I don't know what's holding them back. You almost want to push them over the finish line. I mean, seriously. And then some, I honestly have seen people so close to being saved, but then they reject. And most of those that I can remember in my life, once they rejected and they didn't go across that line, then they backed way off of that line. I mean, if you're here today and you're lost, you know, let the Word of God teach you and show you how to be saved. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. But guess what? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Say, I'm going to give my heart and life to Jesus. You know, there's nothing gooder than the Lord. I just made a word up. There's nothing gooder than the Lord. So you say, well, I do all this and I have all this fun and I drink with all my buddies and I'm going to do all. Well, nothing's gooder than God and a relationship. My encouragement to you, if you're here and you're lost, well, taste and see that the Lord is good. Try Him. Give your heart and life to Jesus. You'll not regret it. I've not run across one soul that truly gave their heart and life to Jesus that says, you know, I regretted it. You know, normally what they say is, I regret that I didn't do it sooner. So So our response to God's goodness, if you're lost, let the Word of God teach you. Let God teach you how to be saved. He teaches sinners. And then say, guess what? I'm going to try Jesus. I'm going to give my heart and life to Jesus. Taste and see. And I guarantee you, you'll say the same thing. There's nothing gooder than God. Third thing the lost person should do in response to God's goodness, Psalm 86 and verse 5. Psalm 86 and verse 5. We already looked at this a moment ago, but it says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." Wow. "And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." You know what I'd encourage you to do? Let the Lord teach you through his word how to be saved. And that Holy Spirit convict you. You decide that I'm gonna try this thing out. I'm gonna trust Jesus as my Savior. In this verse, ask for his forgiveness. You know, part of being saved is saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner." You know, part of the reason why a lot of people aren't getting saved because they're not humble enough. They don't want to admit they're a sinner. And you can't be saved until you admit you're a sinner. And if you don't admit you're a sinner, you're not going to be saved. Because you don't need a Savior if you're not a sinner. But we're sinners, and you need a Savior. So guess what? Ask for his forgiveness. Listen to what I'm saying from God's Word, how to be saved. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Say, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust him. Lord, forgive me." You can leave this place a brand new person from the inside out. I'm thankful for God's goodness, and that's the proper response of a lost person to the goodness of God. Again, you'll not regret it. We're going to sing a song here in a little bit. I want you on that very first note, if you're here and you're lost or you're not sure you're saved, I want you to step out and be saved today, would you? God's a good God and you'll not regret it. All right, now it's your turn. What's our response as Christians? I know most of you profess Jesus as your Savior, right? You say, "I know him as my Savior." What is our response to the goodness of God? Well, the Bible has a fair amount to say about that. To the saved, our response to the Lord's goodness. Psalm 118, verse 1. Psalm 118, verse 1. Notice what it says. "Oh, give" what? "Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." What about verse 29 of that same one? Psalm 118. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Psalm 136 and verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Kind of sounds the same, doesn't it? You know what? One proper response that we have as Christians that know the Lord as our Savior is to be thankful. I found it 6 times in the book of Psalms related, that is, to being thankful. Do you know sometimes the reason we're grumpy? Do you realize that you could be grumpy? Even knowing Jesus as your Savior, you can still be grumpy. Now listen, you're going to be surprised at this, but are you ready? There's moments that I'm grumpy. Oh, isn't that something? And y'all didn't really. Quit shaking your head. She's there going, "Good night." Talk about support. But there's times that we're grumpy. You know, part of the reason we're grumpy is because we're not thankful enough. And we're focusing on the bad part of life or the problem part of life or what we're struggling with instead of looking at God's goodness all around us. I mean, if you know Jesus, it says life is but a vapor. And I know there's tough things in life. I have tough things in my life. Everybody here does. Sometimes it's like, wow, it's a whirlwind of bad stuff happening. But guess what? Even in a whirlwind of bad stuff happening, our God is still good. And he's still showering all this goodness upon you. And the least we can do is say, "Thank you, Lord." And I guarantee if you start going through a list like I mentioned, I'm thankful I was born in America and in West Virginia and all that, part of that gloominess will leave you alone. And you'll realize that really, in reality, probably 1%, maybe 5% of your life might be tough and bad, but 95% is good because we have a good God. Our response to a good God for to say, be thankful. The second response, Psalm 100 and verse 5, verses 4 and 5, actually. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Our response, praise the Lord. That's it. Look, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. There's thankfulness again. And into his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto him. And what? Bless his name. Seems like to me the same idea of praise. Bless his name. Here it is. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 106 in verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For what? He is good. For his mercy endureth forever. You know, not only should we be thankful, but guess what? We ought to let it out every once in a while. Praise. Praise. We can do it at church. You know, when we sing songs, we're praising God. When we testify, we're praising God. When we're bragging on God to other people, we're praising God. We say, you know, other people say, oh, I'm so thankful for the rain. You can say, guess what? God brought that rain. I know we're still in a drought, but I'm thankful for the rain we've gotten recently. Aren't you? And when people say, oh, what a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a great day. God gave us, isn't it? You're praising God. An attitude of praise all the time. If you have an attitude of praise for God, it's going to spill out. If you're grateful, you're going to spill out in praise to the Lord. Our response, not only be thankful, but to praise the Lord. Third response, Psalm 135 and verse 3. Psalm 135 and verse 3, it says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Notice this. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Do you know what? If you in your backyard are working in your backyard or sitting on your porch, just in your swing, or whatever you're doing, if you just suddenly break out into praising God in song, your neighbors will think you have finally flipped your goofball or something, right? But guess what? We are supposed to sing to the Lord. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand Christians. I'm a Christian. And we're singing songs that I know they know, and they're back there going, I don't get it. I really don't. I'm sorry. I just don't get it. It blows my brain. We are supposed to sing, and he's worthy of our singing. He's a good God. I mean, if we sing the songs like he's such a good God, we ought to do it with gusto. We ought to sing so loud our neighbor looks at us like, what are you doing? I don't care if it's on key, off key. God doesn't care, so I surely don't care. If it's on key, off key, whether you're a great singer or the worst singer that ever lived, sing to the Lord. Our response to the goodness of God, not only be thankful, not only praise his name, but it specifically says by singing. I don't know, how many of you sing in the shower? How many of you, it's a good thing you only sing in the shower? No, I'm just kidding. No. Shower, washing dishes, front porch, it doesn't matter. Driving down the road, they may think you're crazy. They may think you're listening to rock and roll, but you're not. You're praising the Rock of Ages. And you're singing to the Lord. Do it. Do it. Our response to the goodness of God. Be thankful, praise the Lord, sing. Here, Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. I'm almost done. You say, praise the Lord. Okay, Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. There it is. For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. But notice the next verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say, you know, those verses are right next to each other. It's talking about the goodness of God, how good he is. He is good by nature. And then it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Believe me, folks, in our land today, we're past the time of sitting back and not saying something for the Lord. I mean, seriously, the world will say anything, and we just sit there and go, I don't want to offend anybody. But guess what? It's time that we stand up for what's right. It's time for us to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm saved. Quit talking about my Jesus. Quit using his name in vain. Guess what? And when they start saying, well, you know, this can't be wrong. This sin used to be sin, but it's not anymore. It's okay now. Why not stand up for the Lord and let the redeemed of the Lord say so and say, no, I'm a child of God. The Bible says. Now, you're not doing it to intentionally offend them, but you're letting them know whose side you're on. God is so good. I think it's time we let the world know whose side we're on, don't you? And we say so also by sharing the gospel with other people. How many times have you shared a clear presentation of the gospel with someone? I mean, you know those folks that come to your house to work on your furnace? I mean, they're a pretty captive audience. And they're not going to make you mad because you'll give them a bad Facebook review. So they're there working on your furnace. Talk to them a little bit. Do you know Jesus? Do you go to church somewhere? You know, and you can share the whole gospel with them. I found used car salesmen are great people to talk to about the Lord because they don't want to lose a sale. No, I'm serious. And you get opportunities. The gospel tracks back there, they're not flying off the shelves, okay? We could all do a better job of giving those things out. It's got the clear gospel plan on it, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is so good. Don't you think we should do that? For the saved, our response to a good God. Be thankful, praise the Lord, sing to him, and say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Today, we've talked about the goodness of God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good to all. The Lord shows his goodness. The Lord shows his goodness through his forgiveness, through his works, through his forever truth, through his forever mercy. And then we just looked at our response to the Lord's goodness. So you're pretty certain that I'm going to return to that response thing. As we go into what we call invitation, which is a very valuable part of a service, I'm really disappointed at how many churches don't have invitations anymore. It's like they preach and they shut the Bible and say, okay, who's going to dismiss us in prayer? But I know God works in my heart during the invitation time. And I know that God's word is supposed to challenge us and move us closer. What did I have you pray from the very beginning? Lord, help me to draw closer to you today through the message. And the invitation time is a time for you to draw closer and say, Lord, you showed me what you wanted to from the Bible, and you showed me what I am, and maybe I'm not measuring up to what I'm supposed to be in the Bible, therefore I'm going to respond to the invitation. You see, there's a value. Whether you make a decision from your seat as we sing, whether you come out of the aisle and come to the altar, whether I have you bow your head and talk to the Lord about your that invitation is so important. Don't take it for granted, but take it as an opportunity to say, Lord, I can do better. But if you're lost today, what's your response to the Lord's goodness? God's word says clearly, this is the way you're saved. I would encourage you, taste and see that the Lord is good. You probably tried all kind of other stuff, and it tasted good for a little bit, but then it got kind of sour. Taste and see the Lord is good. He's good all the time. He's not going to go sour. He's good all the time. And would you ask the Lord's forgiveness? If you're here lost today, you can be saved. You can leave this place and say, I know I'm going to heaven if something should happen to me. What about for the saved? Are you as thankful for the Lord's goodness as you should be? Do you praise the Lord on a regular basis? Do you sing to the Lord? And do you let the world know that you're redeemed and tell people the gospel? That's a good response to God's goodness. If God has spoken to your heart in any of these areas, if you're lost, come down to me and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." And you can be saved today. If you're a Christian and you want to come to the altar and say, "Lord, I can do better in this area. I need to be more thankful. Maybe I need to praise you more. Maybe I need to sing more to you. Maybe I need to tell people more whose side I'm on." Whatever God is saying, you can come to the altar. You don't have to talk to the preacher. If you want to, you can, but you can come to the altar and do business during this valuable invitation time. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for recording all about your goodness, Lord, throughout your Bible. But today, as we've looked at the book of Psalms, Lord, you know who you're speaking to. And Lord, if there's a lost soul, I pray that they'll come forward and come to me and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." And Lord, they can trust Jesus today. And Lord, for any that are gathered together that says, "I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved," but you're speaking to their heart about their response to your goodness, Lord, I pray that they'll do business with you and come to the altar, talk to you about it. We pray in Jesus' name.